Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. While you're there, make sure you give me a follow on Twitter at GoForItGant. And today, expected to be joined by, we have a good show. Good show today. Expected to be joined by the great Willie Rofe. And Willie's going to break down these playoff matchups. Wild card weekend here in the NFL. Should be a wild weekend in the NFL's wild card weekend. And it's always a good weekend. That and the divisional round, but we'll get to that as we progress in the show. Also, expect to be joined by former LSU wide receiver Demetrius Byrd. And Demetrius Byrd has a great story to tell. Demetrius was an individual who was, right before the draft, got involved in a serious car accident, was in a coma. He was eventually drafted by the Chargers while in a coma. So Demetrius Byrd has a great story. We're also going to get his thoughts on this upcoming BCS championship game Monday night, LSU, Alabama. So we're going to talk to Demetrius about all those things. And also, Breaking Dawn star actor Boo Boo Stewart's going to stop on by, and he's going to talk about the big Breaking Dawn movie and some of his music, as he's involved in music as well. Him along with his sisters are involved in music, and they have some good music out there. And we're going to talk about all that with those Boo Boo Stewart. So we're going to be joined by Boo Boo Stewart, Willie Rofe, and Demetrius Byrd. So make sure you stick around. We got a great show for you today. And we're going to start in the National Football League, and more specifically, Wild Card Weekend is upon us. And four big games, four interesting games, and four games that I'm looking forward to. I mean, and I said it earlier, but when you look at the NFL, Wild Card Weekend is a big time. Wild Card Weekend and the divisional round, to me, are the two best weekends in these playoffs. They are the two best weekends. They're exciting, they're interesting, and they're compelling. And then you still have it, though, with this, where you still have four games. You still have four games. So it gives you a complete weekend of football. It gives you that Saturday, Sunday with football, and that's good. That's a good thing because, you know, the reality is football is on the, it's ending soon. It's ending soon. You got the wild cards, divisional round. You have the championship round. Of course, you have the Super Bowl. You have the Pro Bowl as well. But who cares about the Pro Bowl? No one really cares about the Pro Bowl. It is essentially unwatchable. But football is coming to an end. It's near an end. But right now, let's enjoy it while it's here. And we're going to enjoy it with Wild Card Weekend. A lot of great matchups. The game I'm most looking forward to is in Denver, where you have Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos going up against Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's a game I have my eye on and a game I'm very interested to watch for a lot of reasons. And I know initially when I saw this matchup, I said to myself, this is a bad matchup for Tim Tebow. Steelers are the best team in football defensively in terms of the numbers. They stop the run. They stop the pass. And that's really not a strong suit of Tim Tebow to pass. But they do all the things necessary for them to be a successful team. They stop the run. They stop the pass. And they do all the great things on the defensive side of the football. And so you look at the Steelers, you look at this matchup, Tim Tebow is struggling. 6 for 22 and for 60 yards last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's awful. That's just God-awful. And that's on the heels of a, of a, of a bad game against the Bills the week before where he had three interceptions. Tim Tebow has been stinking up the joint these past few weeks. He has been stinking up the joint. And that's kind. And I think that's being kind to him. He's been stinking up the joint. But this is a bad matchup on paper to me for Tebow in terms of this Steelers defense and what this Steelers defense can do. Troy Polamalu out there. You know he's going to be all up in Tebow. You know he's going to be all up in Tebow. James Harrison. And just that defense as a whole. They stop the run and they stop the pass. So they do it all. They do it all. They do it all. So you know what you're going to get from the Steelers in terms of the defensive side of football. And you know why this is going to be a tough matchup for Tim Tebow. But also, I want you to look at it this way as well. And I want you to look at it a little differently in terms of the offensive side of the ball with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ben has not been playing well since that ankle injury. He really has not been playing well since that ankle injury. He was not very effective last week against the Cleveland Browns, and he wasn't that great against the San Francisco 49ers. So the two games that he's played, he's thrown for 551 yards, but no touchdowns and three interceptions. So he has not been that great since the injury. And he talked about having a setback in that game against the Browns. So how healthy is Ben Roethlisberger going to be? And let's give the Broncos credit. One thing the Broncos do is play defense, and they play defense very well. They play defense very well. They get it done on the defensive side of the football, and that's the reason they were 7-4 with Tebow as the starter. That is the reason they came back from 1-4. That defense. But you look at it. You look at it. With that defense, I believe the Broncos have an opportunity to keep that game close. They have an opportunity to keep that game close and couple that with the way Big Ben has been playing with this ankle injury. Add to that Rashard Mendenhall not being in this game and out for the year with an ACL injury. To me, it's an opportunity for the Broncos. And then let's just add in there that Ryan Clark, their big-time safety, will not be playing. He has a sickle cell trait, and he can't deal with the altitude there in Denver. Last time he was there, last time he played in Denver, he had some serious issues. So you look at it, to me, the Broncos being at home, to me, Big Ben not being very effective these past few weeks, and dealing with that ankle injury and having a setback, to me, with Rashard Mendenhall not in the game, there is an opportunity here for the Denver Broncos. There is an opportunity here for the Denver Broncos. If Tim Tebow can make a few plays, the Broncos have a great shot here. They have a shot here. Tebow is going to have to make some plays here because the Steelers do very well against the run. They stop the run. They're eighth in the league against the run. They stop the run. So Tim Tebow may have to beat you with his arm, but he may not have to get many points in this game for the simple fact is Big Ben is not 100%. And when Big Ben has been in those games against Cleveland last week and against San Francisco a couple weeks before that, he was not very effective. He struggled in those games. He didn't move around the way he usually does. So to me, with all that being said and the way the Broncos play defense, there is an opportunity here for the Denver Broncos. There is an opportunity here for the Denver Broncos. A big-time opportunity here. Big Ben is not 100%. We know what the Steelers defense can do. We know what they can do. And the onus is upon Tebow not to turn the football over. If he doesn't turn the football over, you don't give the Steelers a short field. So by not giving them the short field, you're forcing Big Ben and those boys to be able, you're forcing them to drive the football down the field. And again, the way Big Ben has been playing these few last couple weeks, he has not been very effective. He has not been effective. He has not been effective. And then you look at it, their big-time center, Marquise Pouncey, probably will not be playing as well. So you add that into the mix. No Pouncey, no Mendenhall, Big Ben struggling a little bit. The Denver Broncos have a shot here. They have a legitimate shot in this football game. They have a legitimate shot in this game. And I actually think they can win it. And I'm going to actually go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say they are going to win this football game tomorrow. They are going to win this football game tomorrow. The key is Tebow cannot turn the football over. He cannot turn the football over. Because this Broncos defense is good enough to hold the Steelers down, especially the way Big Ben has been playing these last couple weeks. And then you add in Mendenhall, you add in Pouncey, and then you add in that Big Ben said he had a setback last week with that ankle. So there is an opportunity, there is a shot for the Broncos to win this game, and I actually think they will get it done. But we'll see. Let's bring in now 11-time Pro Bowler, the one, the only, the great Willie Rose. Willie, how are you, sir?
Well, Willie, speaking on that, dude, I'm doing good. Do you think, I think the Steelers can beat the Broncos if they start Charlie back in this game. I think you might want to sit Big Ben in this first playoff game. You know, with the Steelers defense, and I think that is they play well in that game. I think you sit Big Ben and let Charlie Bates start the game there.
So you're saying, and I thought last week that Ben should not have even played. I thought they should have sat him down until the playoffs.
You mean we talked about this? You mean that Big Ben shouldn't have played? Charlie Bates
no, he shouldn't have played last
a couple weeks ago. Big Ben's foot was still hurting. He had a setback. You should have said in the last couple of games because Bats was playing well. I say if he does get out there and he's not being effective, then take him out and let Bats play. I hope Bats is taking a lot of snaps this week with the starters too because Bats played well for him.
But you look at it, do you think that Tomlin will take Big Ben out? I don't think he does. I think he rides him out.
I just... With the way the Broncos are, you know, Tebow's still learning how to throw the ball, and you know, he's waiting. If you watch him, he waits for the receiver. He's not throwing the ball when the receiver gets out of break. You know, he's throwing it after the guy gets open. I mean, the way Tebow played the last couple weeks, it's hard to see me go him going out there beating, you know, moving the ball effectively against the Steelers. I mean, unless something else happens. It's hard to see me going out of this Steelers moving the ball up and down the field.
But you look at it here, Willie. He doesn't – the way Big Ben has been playing these past couple weeks, the way the Denver Broncos defense has played throughout the course of this season, you look at it, he may not have to drive the football down the field many times. If he can get maybe one or two scores, that could hold up in this game, especially the way Big Ben has been playing.
Yeah, but is Big Ben going to play this whole game? I think the Steelers have enough to get it done against the Broncos this week.
I don't know. I mean, I see what you're saying here. Just you look at it, and to me, there is an opportunity here. Tebow, if he doesn't turn the football over, that's going to be big. Because now you don't give the Steelers offense a short field. That's
okay,
the key to
me. You don't turn the football over, but you still got to drive the ball down the field. If they go three and out, eventually, Big Ben, if he has enough opportunities, is going to drive the ball down the field. I don't care if he does have a bad ankle; they're going to move the ball eventually. So if both teams are having three and outs, whose offense do you think is going to move the ball down the field? I bet on the Steelers' offense moving the ball down the field more effectively than the Broncos' offense will. I mean, it's left to be seen. But, when the Broncos did get picked and they had to run it there, Willis McGee running well, and he did complete some balls. But in some of those games, man, it just looked like they just were letting him complete the balls, you know? And then
I don't believe in Tim Tebow. I still don't believe he's an NFL quarterback. But my thing is here, Big Ben, and him not being 100%, them not having Mendenhall, Ryan Clark also not being there, Marquise Pouncey probably not going to play. So to me, with all those things there, I think the Broncos have a legitimate shot here, and they may need only maybe one or possibly two drives out of Tebow, and I think he can give them that. I think he can, but we'll see. We'll see how this thing plays out, but it's going to be a lot closer game than a lot of people may think.
It could get ugly, too.
It could.
All right. We'll see how big. Hey, we heard all the talk about Big Ben earlier this week. You don't know how Big Ben's feeling today. We don't know how Big Ben saw. Well, man, yeah, he was limping around early this week. They've been icing and stemming it and elevating and pressuring that foot all week. We don't know how Ben feels now, okay? And as long as Ben can get around and do what he's got to do, if he's effective, then it's going to be – and if they lie, can protect him, then I think they'll be okay. But like I said, if we're talking about a 3-and-out game on both sides of the ball, I think eventually the Steelers will be able to move the football on the Broncos and score some points. Easier than the Broncos. Unless the Broncos just go out there and click on all cylinders and have a good day. I want to see Tim Tebow play well. I like Tim Tebow. I think he's a tough competitor, and he's played well this year. It's just when everything started clamping down on him, he realized that he's really got to go and get with some NFL quarterbacks, and he's got to go and learn how to throw the ball and learn how to read these defenses early and get out of breaks. And that's something that a lot of rookies go through that the good quarterbacks have to go through. But a guy like Andy Dalton that knows how to throw the ball, that's threw the ball well in college, just like you see the kid up from Wisconsin, you know, guys coming out of breaks in the ball games and the ball's already there. I mean, these guys are, you know, have been playing the quarterback position at a high rate in college.
Right, and I think that's a very fair point that you bring up. But to me, and I said this before, I think the great equalizer is Big Ben, his health. If he's not 100%, if he struggles, there's an opportunity.
So
really,
if Charlie Batch is in there, do you think they cannot beat him with Charlie Batch?
I think they can beat him with Charlie Batch. I think they can beat him with Charlie Batch for the simple fact is I don't think they have to score a lot of points to win this game. So I think they can win with Charlie Batch. I really do think they can win with Charlie. I agree with you on that. I think they can win with Charlie Batch. But this is a game, and talking about Tebow, this is a game where he is going to have to be able to throw the football. He has to be effective throwing the football here.
Or have a couple big plays. He had a couple big plays, you know, he's got to be able to throw it and have some big plays. So even if he doesn't throw it effectively, if he can throw some home runs, it'll help out too.
Right, and yeah, I definitely agree with that. I just don't think they'll be able to run the ball effectively against the Steelers here. So he's going to have to throw the ball, and we'll see if he can do it. But it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game. But I like the Broncos to get it done. And Willie, you talked about Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals. They travel to Houston to play the Texans. Last time these two teams played, the Texans got it done on a last-minute, last-second drive by T.J. Yates. He's struggling in terms of his health with his shoulder, but he is going to play. How do you see this one playing out?
I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals in this one. Is A.J. Green going to play?
I believe he is going to play.
I like the Bengals. Unless Foster can run the ball, and the Texas defense does play good at home. They do play good at home. But I like the Bengals going down there with the upset on that one.
You like the Bengals here. And to me, I got to disagree here. I mean, I've been torn about this game throughout the course of this week. But I like the Texans, and one of the reasons I do like the Texans in this game is because last week you look at it, the Baltimore Ravens were able to rush for over 200 yards against the Cincinnati Bengals. Arian Foster is a very good running back. I think that the Texans will be able to run the ball here, and I also think this Texans defense will be able to play well here, and it's been a very good defense throughout the course of this season. Plus, I think first playoff game for the Texans, a home playoff game. I think T.J. Yates makes enough plays, and I think they run the ball effectively, and I think defensively they shut down the Bengals. And I like the Texans to win this football game.
And Andre Johnson is playing this week, isn't he?
Andre Johnson is playing this week. He is playing.
It's going to be a good game. The Bengals front four played well this year, too. I mean, they had the test game last week, but their front four has played well this year. And
the
offensive line, the Bengals line, has played pretty well, too, this year. They just, they play tough on the road. They play tough on the road some games. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a real good game. I think most teams don't have a lot of experience in playoff games, so it's going to be some, jitters on both sides of the ball because they're both young teams as far as playoff experience. So we'll see what happens. But if T.J. Yates can't go in there, then they got to go to Jake Delhomme. And he hasn't played very well, and he hasn't played a lot this year. So, as far as the team is concerned, I'm still gonna stick with the Bengals. Steelers,
so you like the Bengals?
Bengals.
Okay. I like the Texans here today, and we'll see what happens. I just think that defense and the emotion of having that first playoff game, having the game at home, the first playoff game in franchise history, having it at home. I think these things will all come together for that perfect storm, and I think the Texans will get it done. But we'll see. We'll see. And this is a game I was torn on throughout the course of this week. I was very torn about this game because I think it could go either way.
It could go either way.
I really do. But we shall see what happens there. And also, Willie, moving on tonight, you have your Saints against the Lions. The last time these two teams played, Drew Brees was effective, over 300 yards, three touchdowns. The Saints did win that game 31-17. But in that game, the Lions did have a meltdown. They had all those penalties. But also, Adamican Sue did not play, and that is big. And Matthew Stafford did throw for over 400 yards. Will this game be any different here, Willie?
The bottom line was Sue. Let's be honest. Sue's acting out this year. The bottom line with Sue is he didn't have a good year this year. Sue had, three, four sacks and 30 tackles this year? Last year he had 9-10 sacks. Last year he was a Pro Bowler. Last year they were talking about he was going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's the NFL, man. You got to go out and do it week in, week out, year in, year out. Sue got blocked. The team got ran on something this year. Sue got double-teamed, but he got blocked this year. You know, they're not going to let you do the same stuff you did. You're going to have to work hard and get it done. So Sue didn't have a good year, productive year this year. Basically, that's the bottom line. He didn't. If that's their best player on defense, he's got to step up. He did not play productively this football season. I'll go ahead and say that. But it's going to be a good football game. Their front four was not as good as you would have thought they would have been with the Detroit, like they looked in the preseason this year. And they have had too many penalties and too many breakdowns throughout the season after they got off to the hot start. I think it's going to be a real tough football game. I just don't think they can beat the Saints at home.
And I agree with you. I mean, I don't think they can beat the Saints at home. I definitely agree with you. It's hard with the way Drew Brees has been throwing the football around. And you look at the Lions last week, I mean, Matt Flynn, I mean, for the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers went crazy on the Lions. 6 touchdowns, over 400 yards passing. I mean, ultra effective, big time. And you look at it, I mean, Matt Flynn is not Drew Brees. And also, the game being in the Dome, in New Orleans, I think the Saints are unbeatable in New Orleans.
I think being in the Dome, it kind of plays to both of them because they're both Dome teams. So, all their home field advantage, I think that's why it's going to be a little closer because Detroit does play in the Dome, too. And I think Detroit played a bad game last time. Now, I will say this. Detroit can spread the ball and move the ball. If Detroit can run the ball and keep the Saints off the field, if they can do that effectively and move the chains, then that's either you got got to hit with these quarterbacks. Either you got to hit Drew Brees. If you can put pressure on Drew Brees with four, and that frees up your secondary to play regular, you don't have to blitz him, then you're going to have a chance, like something like St. Louis was able to do this year. But you got to be able to put pressure on Drew Brees. Now, so if you can put pressure on him, then they have a better chance. But bottom line is, they're going to have to be able to put pressure on Drew Brees with their front four and vice versa. So when I give advantage to the Saints, I just think this is going to be a real good for high-school football game, and it's going to be probably closer than people think.
I think it's going to be a close game, a high-scoring game, but I think the Saints
got to show up. That's going to be the thing. If Detroit wants to win this first football game, their front four is going to have to put pressure and be getting out to Drew Brees. That's it.
And do you think they will?
I think Dr. Cunningham is a good coach. He's a good coordinator. I think he's going to get those guys motivated. But look what we just said. Sue did not have a productive day yet this year. He had three sacks and 30 tackles. Well, he had that going toward the end of the season. I don't think Sue made the Pro Bowl. So Sue didn't have a productive year like he had last year. That's the bottom line. So if they're going to win, they're going to have to put pressure on him. And that's the only way.
Definitely.
They don't put pressure on the quarterback, they won't win the game.
And that goes for both sides. Well, I mean, the Lions can put up some points as well. They can put up a lot of points. We're talking to 11-time Pro Bowler Willie Rolfe. And Willie, another game, going to tomorrow's games. You have the Falcons traveling to MetLife Stadium to face the Giants. This is an interesting game to me. I think the Falcons are the better team, and I think they will be able to run the ball very well against the Giants, who are 19th against the run. And I know everybody's been talking of late, the Giants, they're playing like they did back in 2007 when they won the Super Bowl. But to me, they don't run the ball the same way they did back then, and they've been very fortunate these past couple weeks to play. The Cowboys, who can't stop anybody on defense, and the Jets, who were just pretty much done near the end of the season. But how do you see this thing playing out, Willie?
This is going to be a real tough game, too. I would like to see the Falcons win the game on the road. I know that Matt Ryan plays a lot better at home than he does on the road. My dad, he's almost unbeatable in the Georgia Dome. I played with Tony G, and I know he's been in the league a long time. So I'm rooting for the Falcons to win the game in New York. But it's gonna be tough to beat them at home. But I'm rooting for the Falcons.
And you're rooting for the Falcons, but do you think the Falcons win this football game? Do the Falcons win?
You know, both teams are healthy. I mean, both teams got everybody in the lineup, so it's not going to be a question of somebody not being, you making excuses. I think the Falcons got a good chance to win the game. I think the Falcons win the football game. It's going to be a close game. I think the Falcons are going to win the football game. I mean, they don't have they're not playing the Saints where they have a 6'6 tight end. They can just jump up over Lil Grimes and those guys. I mean, the Giants have, this is going to be good matchups with the receivers. They're not big. They're about the same size. Manningham is pretty tall, but not as big. But I'm saying it's favorable matchups, and I'll take the Falcons on the road.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the Falcons do get it done in this football game. And everybody's been, again, talking about the Giants, talking about, this team is playing like they did back in 2007 when they made that run to the Super Bowl. To me, it's not the same team, and I think the Falcons are a better team. And the Giants, they benefited these last 2 weeks from the Jets, who were pretty much done. And then also they benefited from a Cowboy defense that was just awful in that game. I mean, they were absolutely awful in that football game. The offensive line was awful in that game for the Cowboys as well. I mean, you look at it, and if the Cowboys could have got better play.
They didn't show up for the football game.
If they could have got better play from the defense, I think they could have won that football game.
Yeah, but they didn't show up. It seemed like they didn't even show up for the game. I mean, you're fighting for a playoff spot and all the pressure on you. I wanted to see the Cowboys go out there and play harder or play better, but it's like, understanding, but and they don't have Plaxico Burress, who was playing excellent football when they made their Super Bowl run, especially
right.
in the playoffs. And he, like you said, they had a big target, Plaxico Burress. Now they have you know, quick little fast receivers, and I think that plays better in the hands of the Falcons defending them. If they, you know, if they did have a big receiver like Plaxico, they could go down and stretch the field. You know, that would help the Giants, but they don't have a big guy. But Dick Cruz has been playing, you know, making some big plays every week for them, so they're going to have to contain him.
Definitely. He's definitely made some big plays throughout the course of this season. He's made some big plays in that Cowboy game, big-time plays there by Victor Cruz. I mean, the guy has come out of nowhere, and he's having a great, great year. And, Willie, speaking of New York and speaking of Plaxico Burress, the New York Jets, a team in turmoil right now, like we said, they were awful down the stretch of this season. Mark Sanchez was awful this season. I mean, career high in turnovers, 26 turnovers out of Mark Sanchez. He was not very good this year. The Jets down the stretch were not very good this year. You got the quarterback, the third-string quarterback, McElroy coming out, Greg McElroy coming out, talking about how selfish this team was. LaDainian Tomlinson criticized Santonio Holmes, the captain of this team, one of the captains of the team, talking about how selfish he was in that game and against the Dolphins, where he was taken out of the game by the offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. You look at the Jets right now, Willie. I mean, let's look at Mark Sanchez first. To me, he is not a franchise quarterback. He has regressed this year, and he has not taken that step from game manager to game changer. And I'm not sold on this guy. I'm not. And if you have an opportunity for Peyton Manning, if you're the New York Jets, you better go get him. But how do you view Mark Sanchez at this point?
If you're going to go get Peyton Manning, it ain't going to be for no 35 million, though. I mean, so we'll, I mean, Peyton Manning, yeah, but we're just going to be a lot cheaper. But let's say this. Mark Sanchez is not ready to regress, and let's say this, it starts with the attitude of the head coach. The head coach has a big ego. He's always doing a lot of talking. So you got a lot of players with a lot of egos. And then when you have a locker room with a lot of big egos, everybody wants to think they're the man, they're in New York, then that's where it starts. I say that there's got to be some humbling done, and I say if they have the opportunity to draft another quarterback, if they want to bring in Peyton Manning, how you going to pay? If you pay Peyton Manning, you got to let Mark Sanchez go. If you have the opportunity to draft a good young quarterback, which it is a good quarterback in this draft, then maybe you look at drafting a quarterback. Can Peyton Manning even pass a physical? I mean, he can't even pass a physical to go to another team right now. So you're talking about Peyton Manning like he's healthy. He can't pass a physical to play football right now. So,
but Willie, if you have
that, you owe all this money to, he can't pass a physical.
Okay, at this point, he may not be able to pass a physical. But
it's astounding to me we're talking about giving all this money to a guy that can't pass a physical. So, first of all, he's going to be 36 years old, he can't pass a physical. I just don't have a lot of confidence in the guy. I'm sorry, even though it's Peyton Manning, this coming off the situation he's in with the neck issue. He still got to get back out there and play football. And you know, they're different than walking around and tossing a football around. Okay, so if they have the opportunity to draft a quarterback, yes, draft a quarterback. You know, we don't know what Peyton Manning is going to be able to give you when he comes back. And I know that I'm going to have to eat a lot of crow if he does come back and play well. But we're going to have to see how Peyton Manning comes back off this. But I say if you have a chance to draft a quarterback, you draft the quarterback. I know they're talking about Bart Scott didn't play as well, and he will be probably gone from the team after this year, you know, from them. I just think they have a lot of – I don't think Rex Ryan's going anywhere, so I just think that they're going to make some changes with some of the personnel.
Well, I think, to me, if you have a shot at Peyton Manning, I think you have to take that chance, because to me, Mark Sanchez is not a championship-caliber quarterback, and I think this defense is championship-caliber or close to it. I wouldn't say it's championship-caliber, but it's close to it.
So what are you going to play?
They didn't play as well this year.
What are you going to do about the $20 million option in March?
Well, they'll figure that out. They'll figure that out. But to me, if you have an opportunity to get a Peyton Manning, You have to do what you have to do to make that happen. And I understand the neck injury and all that, but to me, it's hard to doubt Peyton Manning. And a year ago, he put up big-time numbers, 33 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, over 4,700 yards passing. I mean, the guy, to me, can still get it done if healthy, and that's big. If healthy, I still think he gets it done. And to me, if I'm the New York Jets.
So you would agree that Indianapolis is going in a rebuilding stage, that they're going in a different direction?
I'm not sure if they are, but if he's available. If he is available, I think if you're the New York Jets, you have to find a way to get him. You do. Because,
well,
again, the defense.
You know, it all falls in the Peyton's hand, because the bottom line is, he's going to have to restructure. And if he doesn't restructure, then that means that maybe he gets released. And if he gets released, he can do whatever he wants to do. But the bottom line is, it's all in the Peyton Manning's hand, because he has that option bonus, and the team is going to have to do some restructure. Or he's going to have to agree to restructure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, but you look at the Jets and Mark Sanchez. Okay, let's ask this question. Do you think he's a championship caliber quarterback?
No. I agree with you there that he's regressing, and he didn't play well for long stretches of time. I'm saying that you still got a draft with some real good quarterbacks in it, and I don't know what the Jets are going to end up picking, but you got some quarterbacks in this draft, so you can also go that route too. Maybe you can trade up. I don't know. You got Robert Griffin the third. You got Andrew Luck. I don't know what the kids from Boise State do for was a real good quarterback. I don't know what he's projected in the draft. But
you got some more
quarterbacks in that draft. So I think you got the draft also. I don't know. I don't know what Peyton's going to be able to get you over a 4 or 5 year hump. Are you saying that if we're Peyton Manning, the Jets are going to be a top Super Bowl contender? I mean, are you saying that he's going to make that much of a difference on that team next year?
If Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, if Peyton Manning's healthy, I think he makes that much of a difference on this team, yes. I really do. I think he does make that much of a difference. The past 2 years, the Jets have been a quarterback away, in my opinion, from being in the Super Bowl and possibly winning the Super Bowl. And I think you can say the same for this year. Defensively, they did not play as well, but I think the defense was good enough with some solid quarterback play for them to make a run in these playoffs as well.
And I think the Jets would be a team that would be able to pay Peyton Manning, $15, $20 million. I think that is a big market team. And if we're talking about paying a guy, I think that they could pay him that type of money. Not the full 35, but if they'd be able to pay him around
$20 million. We'll see. I mean, we'll see how this thing plays out. But I mean, if you're the New York Jets, and you have an opportunity to get Peyton Manning, and you deem him healthy, you have to take that opportunity. You have to take that shot to get him. He is an upgrade over Mark Sanchez. He is an upgrade, and to me, that makes them a better football team. And what do you think about Santonio Holmes, the captain of the team? He called out his offensive line in public in the media earlier in the season, and then the issue against the Miami Dolphins there where he was taking out the game. And the guy – go ahead.
I don't know. Santonio, he's acting out. First of all, when you call out positions on a team, you're going to – when you're a player calling them out, just going to be the captain, obviously you're going to cause some conflict with the locker room. And obviously they already had conflict going on in the locker room. So, I don't know what they're going to do with Santonio Holmes. I think he played okay at times this year. I mean, it wasn't like he was like, if he's going out there lighting up every week, then, you think you can say something. But I don't see Santonio having Pro Bowl numbers this year. I mean, you can't call out the offensive line, if you're not out there playing hard every week, especially when you get benched in a game. So, I don't know if that's another issue. What are they going to do? What direction are they going to go in with Santonio? Are they going to bring Plaxico Burress back? What are they going to do with Sanchez? They got a lot of So I think they got a lot of the Bart Scott situation up there. It was, he was, you know, talking about he's not going to be there. So they got a lot of issues, a lot of things that the general manager, the head coach, you know, to work out to get things back on the right track and to get the attitude of that locker room right. So they got a lot of things they're going to have to work out to get that team before next season starts to make sure when they go to training camp they got the right attitude and everybody's on board and part of the program.
And I look at Plaxico Burress, and I think you need to move on from that. I don't think he was overly impressive this year. Caught only 45 passes, 612 yards. Did have the 8 touchdown, but his longest reception was 30 yards this year. I mean, to me, it's time to move on from that as well. I think it's time to move on from Plax. I think you can with Santonio, I think a lot of talent, a lot of ability. I think you can work with that. But Plax, I think he has turned into a possession receiver at this stage of his career.
What was Santonio's numbers this year?
Santonio wasn't much better. I mean, 51 balls he caught, 8 touchdowns as well.
Okay, well, he didn't do that much more than Plax. So you go, I mean, Plax
654 yards.
Well, early in the season. So, I mean, if you're saying that, Plaxico's making, I mean, Santonio's making $10 million. Plaxico made $3 million. So for the money, Plaxico was more productive.
So you would bring Plax back?
I bring Plax back. I mean, he caught 8 touchdowns. He caught 40 balls. I think Plax gets better. He was banged up early in the season. You know, he didn't really get going until after 3 or 4 weeks. So you bring Plax back, do you make Santonio take a pay cut? I mean, he didn't have a big numbers he put up the year before. We would work if you want to say that. So I think you bring Plax back,
point.
And Santonio make a cut.
But you look at Santonio, he's going to have to come back because the reality is his salary is guaranteed in 2012 for $7.75 million. So, more than likely, he's coming back.
Okay, that's why he can lash out and do all that talking, too, exactly.
He knows it.
He can go out there and do whatever, and they're going to trade him. Other than trading him, they can't mess with him. They can't cut him because they got to pay him. So, yeah, he knows he can go out there and do some talking. Now, was he right what he did? No, but then you get these guys that money. It's not the NBA, but it's guaranteed for a couple of years.
And again, $7.75 million guaranteed for 2012. So he's probably more than likely going to be back. But you got his teammates calling him a cancer. I know there's been some reports in the New York Daily News. Some is quoted as saying he's a cancer. It's like dealing with a 10-year-old. I mean, it's some of the things that you're hearing about Santonio Holmes. So, I mean, he got the money and he started acting out, I guess.
He did. Yeah, exactly. Before he got the money, I bet he was on his best behavior, and he got the money, and then he started, you know, they named him captain. The captain, you just don't name a guy captain. He's got to earn to be a captain, you know. The guy's been on the team a year, you know, a half a year, and then you give him a contract, and now you name him captain. I mean, I just think it starts with the head coach. There's got to be some humbling, and I think it's a lot of egos up there. And, you know, you got Bart Scott making a lot of money up there, too. You got a lot of egos. And the coach has a big ego, and he'll get out and say something, and the team's got to go play. So I think it's going to start with the attitude of the coach changing some. And then trickle down to the players, because it's going to start with him. He's a first-time head coach, and he's learning, too. He's learning on the job also. So I think it's going to start with the attitude of the coach. And I also think that maybe getting another job, getting another coordinator in there might help the team. I think offensive play calling and the production has been spotty at times, and maybe they do need another old coordinator in there.
Right, he's going to be returning Schottenheimer, more than likely. That's what the reports are coming out that he may return, but he did also interview for the Jaguar job, so we'll see what happens, but the Jets have some problems. They have some issues there, and we'll see if they can straighten this whole thing out. But there are some issues there, and I think if they can get Peyton Manning, you got to get Peyton Manning.
You're on that Peyton Manning bandwagon. Peyton Manning's got to get healthy, okay? Before anybody's going to get him, he's got to get healthy. And what are we going to get him for? Because right now you're looking at $35 million.
It's going to cost somebody, but it may
so
be well worth it.
$35 million is what you're saying.
I don't think he's going to get the $35 million. I think they'll find a way. Well, we'll see what happens. I think they'll structure the deal in a way that's friendly for both Peyton and friendly for both the Jets or whoever else picks
him
up.
All right. Well, we'll see how this gets worked out. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting all season. We're going to see what's going to happen in Indy because I'm pretty sure Indy's going to pick Andrew Luck. And if they still keep Peyton around, they can't keep him for that price. We already know that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the whole Peyton Manning situation. But, I mean.
We'll see.
I really can't talk about you got a guy that had three surgeries and took my pay him $30 million. I can't see that.
We'll see. We'll definitely see what happens, Willie. And real quickly now, Willie, the playoffs have started. Who do you see going to the Super Bowl here?
Because of the Pittsburgh situation now, and I do like Baltimore, and I know people talk about New England's defense, I still got to say I like New England.
Okay.
And I like the Saints.
Even though the Saints
got to go on the road. For a couple of weeks, you know, this week, I think they gonna have to go on the road in the NFC Championship. I like the Saints and I like New England. You know, it's a shame that other than the Saints and the NFC, the team that was playing the best football is not in the playoff, and that's your Philadelphia Eagles. But
agreed.
I thought about this yesterday. If you're bringing Andy Reid back, then you're gonna keep that core together. Then you gotta pay Deshaun Jackson, because Deshaun Jackson showed through the last month of the season when he wants to play and when he's catching them long balls, it changes the whole dynamics of that offense.
Very true.
So I think you got to pay Deshaun Jackson, keep him happy. He's a hell of a football player. The team was not turning the ball over, and they were, and the defense was playing extra, but the offense was not turning the ball over. You got to find a way next year to keep Michael Vick healthy throughout the course of the season, because when he got that 3 week break, he was a different quarterback late in the year and was very accurate and was playing very well. He gets beat up during the year, so you got to find a way to stop him. Either the line got to play better, can't get him in as much early in the season. But early in the season, they just weren't playing football. I think probably because of some stuff on the locker room where Vick got paid and Deshaun thought he should have got paid also. But you got to pay Deshaun Jackson.
I agree. I think if you're bringing a coach back, then I agree. I think you do have to pay Deshaun Jackson. I think he brings a dynamic to that offense. Like you said, catching the long ball, he opens up a lot for that offense. I think you have to bring him back. You have to pay him. And I think they made a mistake going into this year, paying everybody else, the Jason Babbitts, the Colin Jenkins, Nnamdi, everybody else.
Nnamdi gave him all the money, and he got Deshaun there. You're not paying him. You know he's pissed.
Right. So you did all that. You had to pay Deshaun Jackson. I think they made a mistake in not doing so. They made the mistake in paying everybody else but him on some level, and I think that was a big mistake, and I think that hurt the season. It hurt the season. And that game that he missed against Arizona, you look at it. If he's in that football game, A, I think they win that game, and B, if they win that game against the Arizona Cardinals, they are probably in the playoffs now. So that was a big game, him getting suspended in that game. I think it all came down to them not paying him in the offseason. That was a big mistake by ownership. And he was distracted. He admitted that he was distracted, and it showed. It showed. So they made a mistake, and you got to know your players, you got to know your personnel, and you got to know who you can pay and who you can get away with not paying right away. And I think Deshaun Jackson felt he had outplayed his contract. He did outplay his contract, and that's the reality of that. He did.
He's looking at guys getting, you know, $10-15 million, whatever, $10-15 million a year, and he's making $500,000. Come on, man. I mean, you getting all these guys getting $9-10 million a year. And then, you know, he's got to get paid. No, he's not catching 80. He's not a guy that's going to give you 80, 90 balls in a year. like Marcus Colston. He's not gonna catch any. But what he is gonna catch, he's gonna put one of the punts back, and he's gonna go to the house for you and spread that field. Now he can get you 10 touchdowns, and he's gonna have the most yards per catch. But he's not gonna get you 80 balls. He's not that receiver.
No, he's not. But he's the ultimate home run hitter. He is the ultimate home run hitter, and you need a guy like that. And there are not too many guys in the league like that. And to me, you have to pay him. You have to pay him. And you look at Santonio Holmes, I believe 5 years, $50 million. He got paid some big-time money. And to me, DeSean Jackson deserves around that, maybe a little less, but around that. He doesn't deserve Larry Fitzgerald money.
I don't think DeSean Holmes is better than DeSean Jackson. I don't think so either. Come on.
I don't think so.
Not with that attitude. And I don't think DeSean Jackson is the bad guy. I think DeSean Jackson had a great rapport with those guys. I think he was just pissed off by the contract. I don't think DeSean Jackson, once you play DeSean Jackson, I hope you see, a lot of these guys get the money and they can't handle it. Just like Michael Vick will tell you. He got paid early in Atlanta and he wasn't mature enough to handle it. Okay?
Right.
Now he's a mature where he can handle these situations. And, you know, he has to go through that adversity. So we hope that when DeSean Jackson does get paid, he does handle things properly and takes care of his business, you know.
Definitely.
And that's what you want to hope for. Look at Santonio Holmes. He didn't handle getting the big money the way you would expect him to handle it. He didn't handle it correctly.
Right.
So you just want to see DeSean, if they're going to lock him up, handle it. And like you said, if I'm a guarantee, I'm a guarantee for a couple of years, even though it's young. I'm not guarantee. That's why football players don't have full-length guaranteed contracts. You can guarantee a couple of years of it. But I hope the young man can handle it when he does get paid.
We'll see. We'll see, and we'll definitely see. But like you said, it was kind of disappointing the way Santonio Holmes handled this year, handled getting the money that he got. I mean, it really was. Very disappointing, and with that, I mean, he got $24 million of his contract guaranteed. So it's $50 million contract, 24 of it guaranteed. That's big time money, and unfortunately, he did not handle it well. And he handled it like a child, because that's the way they're saying he acted this year. And he acted like a brat, and he was a cancer. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate coming from the situation he did. He came to the Jets. In a lot of ways, they helped him out in some respect. He came to the Jets, had a 4-game suspension coming to the Jets, and you would think and you would hope he would repay the Jets a little better than he did. But we'll see. We'll see. He's still young, still has a lot of ability, and still can make a lot of plays. So we'll see what happens with him moving forward. Now, Willie, just so we're clear, you have the Saints and the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and I agree with the Patriots part. I really do. I just have a hard time going against the Green Bay Packers. And I was close to going with the Saints in the Super Bowl, but I just have a hard time going against the Green Bay Packers. And plus, being that the game, if the Saints do make it to the NFC title game, will be in Lambeau, I don't like the Saints' chances there. And so I like the Packers getting to the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
I like their chances better right now because it's not that cold in Lambeau right now.
That is true.
It's not that cold. It's kind of warm all over the country. So as long as the weather stays the way it is, I think it plays better into the fact that with the Saints playing, you know, in the next couple of weeks, because the weather's been pretty warm across the country right now. It hasn't really cooled off. So I think it's going to be a track meet either way you go. I mean, you know, who's going to slow down who? And I just say the Saints defense has been playing better, like we said, than the Packers defense, and the Packers have got to show. The Packers have to show me something in the playoffs defensively. You know, they're going to have to show something. That, you know, you can't be just giving them all these points also. So their defense is going to have to show up some too. So I like the Saints defense better than the Packers defense.
And we'll see. I mean, so with the Saints and Patriots in the Super Bowl, who do you have winning?
Man. So that would be a good football game.
That would be a lot of points. A lot of points. It would set defensive football back many years.
You got Brady and Breeze. You know I can't go against the Saints. That's my old team. I'd have to go with the Saints in the close one.
Okay, so you have the Saints. I mean, and it could be a good time for New Orleans. I mean, you possibly could get into the Hall of Fame, and then the Saints, like you said, may win the Super Bowl. At least that's what you have them win the Super Bowl. So we'll see. We shall see. Willie, as always, pleasure talking to you, man. We'll see what happens as these playoffs progress. Should be a very interesting wild card weekend. The Denver Broncos.
It will be very interesting, and we have the Steelers, I have the Bengals, the Saints, and the Falcons.
Okay. Okay, I agree with you.
If you pick about them two, the Bengals game, and I think the Saints-Detroit game is going to be, I like the Falcons going there. I think this week is going to be a tough game for the Saints. I really like Detroit. And are they ready to go to that next level? We will see. But like you said, if Sue is their best player on the defensive side of the ball, then he's going to have to play like their best player this week. And he just hasn't been getting it done this year. So.
And we'll see. I mean, it's definitely going to be big. I agree with you with the Saints. I disagree with you with the Texans. I like the Texans to win. I disagree with you with the Steelers. I like the Broncos to pull off the upset.
Come on, man.
And I also, and I agree with you. I do agree with you.
Big Ben should be able to go out there and beat the Broncos with one leg. I'm saying Big Ben can beat the Broncos with one and a half legs.
But it's not like he's playing against the New England Patriots defense. This is a very good defense in Denver.
Okay. But the secondary, Dawkins playing?
Dawkins is not playing. Dawkins is out.
A little older. I think they're going to have problems with the Dennis got good receivers now.
They do.
Brown and Mike Wilde, they got some good receivers now. They got some guys that can go get it.
See, I would say this to you, Willie. If Big Ben was 100%, I would say the Broncos have no chance. I would say they have no shot. But to me, with Big Ben not being 100%, what I saw out of Big Ben last week against Cleveland, and granted, it's not the playoffs. It's still the regular season last week against the Browns. But what I saw with Big Ben against the Browns, I was not impressed. And with him saying that he had a setback, to me, that favors the Broncos, and to me, I like the Broncos to get it done.
I don't think he has to be 100% this week. I don't think he has to be 100%. So we'll see what happens. But I think Big Ben is going to be another. The Steelers have been there before. The Steelers have won rings. The Steelers have been to playoffs consistently. We have a playoff experienced team going to Broncos have to beat a playoff experienced team. So you're taking youth over experience, and I'm taking experience over youth.
I'm taking Tebow, and maybe I'm taking Jesus with him.
Okay. Well, Jesus got to come on that football field and give him the help.
It's hard to bet against Jesus and Tebow. But we'll see. I think, again, with Big Ben not being 100%, I think the Broncos have a shot. And I actually think they'll get it done. But we'll see.
You got to get Big Ben, though. You got to get to him.
And I think they can.
Yes.
And I think
I like him up front. I get the advantage. I mean, James, you got Harrison. They got Willie playing this week. You got Willie playing, coming back off the hamstring this week. So, Drummerville, and the rookie played great this year. Von Miller played great this year. So, I like him up front. I think it's too much experience for them to win this game.
We'll see. I think health will play a big role in this, and I like the Denver Broncos. But we'll see, Willie. We'll talk about it next week.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
The great Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. And, again, it should be an interesting football game there with the Denver Broncos and Pittsburgh Steelers. And to me, I like the Denver Broncos for a lot of reasons. And I outlined them early on, and I'll outline them again. Marquise Pouncey will not be there. The Denver Broncos have a very good defensive line. They can get pressure on the quarterback. Marquise Pouncey will not be there. That's big. Very big. Okay. You look at it now, Marquise Pouncey not there. Rashard Mendenhall not there. Torn ACL, won't be back in this game, won't be back in the playoffs, but the playoffs will end here for the Steelers. But he won't be there. That is big. That is big. So with all that being said, with all that being said, the Big Ben talking about he had a setback. With all that being said, you do not have to score a lot of points if you're the Denver Broncos. I don't think they're going to have to score a lot of points here. It's up to Tebow. If Tebow can maybe have one or two scoring drives, possibly score 10 to 14 points, they have an opportunity here. They have an opportunity. They have an opportunity here. It's a home game. Everybody is doubting the Broncos. Everybody's talking about how this is a bad matchup for Tebow and the Broncos. Everybody's doing a lot of talking. But to me, if Big Ben is not Big Ben, and I don't think he will be, and he has not been these past couple weeks, I think the Denver Broncos, not think, I believe, I know, actually, that the Denver Broncos will get this victory, pull off the upset, and win this playoff game. Win this playoff game. You will see, we all will see. Just watch, listen, and learn.
Okay.
Hey,
what up?
That.
It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, sir.
You got it.
So we'll see. We shall see. We're back, and we're going to be joined by Demetrius Byrd now. Any second here, Demetrius Byrd has a very, very interesting story. Preparing for the 2009 NFL draft, got into a serious car accident a week before the draft, and was eventually drafted by the San Diego Chargers while in a coma. An amazing story, and Demetrius is a former LSU star, and one of the big reasons that LSU won the championship back in 2007. So we're going to bring him in now. Let's bring in now former LSU standout, the one, the only, Demetrius Byrd. Demetrius, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on? I'm all right. I like that introduction.
Good to have you on. And we're going to get to the – are you ready for that big game Monday?
Oh, yes. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. It's a whole lot of smack going on, so I just can't wait to see that game go out.
And we're going to talk about that game later in this interview. But, Demetrius, let's start. Let's start with that accident. Serious car accident a week before the draft. You spent time in a coma. You were in intensive care for a period of time. First off, do you remember anything about that accident?
No, I don't remember nothing. All I remember is I dropped my good friend off at home, and I was on my way home to pick up my mom. And that's all I remember. Then next thing you know, I wakes up after a coma. That was 7 days later. And I'm like, Mom, what are we doing here? The NFL draft this week. She said, Baby, I already got drafted. I was like, Wow.
How did that conversation?
Huh?
You said you couldn't even get excited. How did that conversation go?
If I was in front of you, I could show you. Like, I couldn't talk. All I could do was whisper. So I whispered to my mom. I was like, Mom, what are I doing here? The NFL draft this weekend. She said, Baby, I already got drafted. I looked and I said, Huh? It was amazing, man. But, you know, I couldn't really, you know, get into it because I was in the hospital. So I was excited, you know, because I know it had never happened before. So I was very excited about that.
And Demetrius, like you said, you were drafted in the seventh round by the Chargers. You heard from your mom that you were drafted by the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you hear from the Chargers?
Oh, to tell you the truth, I didn't hear from the Chargers for a good little minute. Like, the only contact I had was through my agent at the time. He was telling me everything. And then probably, like, after I got about the hospital and I did a couple of surgeries. I did a couple of rehabs and stuff like that. the doctors finally said that I could go ahead and fly because they didn't want me to fly because I had a brain injury or something like that. So, and plus I had a neck brace on because I had a crack, little small crack in my vertebrae. So I had a neck brace on, so they didn't want me to fly. And he finally cleared me to go fly, and that was my first time going to speak to the Chargers. And, you know, like, man, all of them was very friendly and welcomed me in. And even the players, Phillip Rivers, all them guys, man, they welcomed me in.
Wow.
It was a kid's dream that came true. So.
You talked about some of the injuries. What kind of injuries did you have from that accident?
Most people think my injuries are like Chad Jones' injury. It's nothing like his because his injury was kind of bad, but mine as well too. But I had my brain, I think it's called a right thalamus. I don't know. You probably correct me on that. It's a thalamus. I think I'm saying the name right. But it's a right thalamus and a cracked vertebrae. And my injury in the right thalamus, it kind of messed up the equilibrium for my left side. So now my left side is uncoordinated, and I'm doing everything now to get that back right, you know, the muscle memory. So that's what I'm going through right now. I'm getting it back. It's coming back to me.
And you were expected, I was reading where you were expected to go in the second round of the 2009 draft before the car accident. Talk about that.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. I thought I was on top of the world, man. I was feeling so good. Mm-hmm. You know, I was down in Miami. I was with my family, and I was training. I went to the combine. I ran a 4.3, and then I came back and went 4.8. I went 4.29, but then they sparked. Something with spark, it was difficult timing. It was something with spark, and then that's when they clocked me at a 4.4 or something like that. So I was so excited, man, because that big old picture is about to come true. You know, I'm about to go play in the NFL, score some touchdowns. You know, continue on the You Can't See Me what I started in college, and then that happened. So, I'm lost for words on that.
and throughout this whole process, have you played the what if game? What if I never had? What if this accident never happened? What if? What if? What if?
Yeah, well, you know what? I did. I'm not going to sit here in front. I did. I questioned God's, you know, judgment. And later on, as that progressed, I was like, man, why am I questioning God's judgment? Because if I would have went through this and got drafted in the second round and then had the accident, it probably would have turned out different. You know, I probably would have lost my life. You know, so what I'm doing here is I'm seeking in everything that God is, you know, is doing for me right now, and He's still giving me the strength to train and do football movement and all that good stuff like that. So I'm happy with it. You know, I can't complain about that because everything happened for a reason. And God won't bring me through nothing, just leave me there, you know, with nothing to fall back on. Immediately after I got released from the Chargers, I came back to school. I left school early. Now I came back to finish on my degree.
Wow.
And, you know, I still got that to fall back on. So God just made a good way. He didn't make the accident happen. He allowed it to happen. So by Him allowing that to happen, it helped me where I could go back to school. And then the lockout helped me too in a good way. It helped me. It pulled on the season. I mean, not the season, but camp time. And it allowed me to knock out some more credits doing class and stuff like that. Now I'm projected to graduate in May, and you know, I'm still training. I'm only have two classes, so everything that I'm doing now is just strictly getting myself back right, you know, and that's what I'm doing now, you know, every day of the week, no days off.
We're talking to former LSU wide receiver Demetrius Byrd, and Demetrius has a very great story to tell here. Demetrius was involved in a serious car accident right before, a week before the 2009 NFL draft, and ultimately was drafted in the seventh round by the Chargers while in a coma. An amazing story here. And Demetrius, it's been close to 3 years since the accident. How close are you to being 100%?
Oh, I'm very close, man. I ran a 4.7 probably about 3 weeks ago before Christmas and New Year's break. I ran a 4.7 at 75% healthy, and I wasn't even running my full speed. So if you just, let's just say I'm at 75% and I do run my full speed, I'll easily get a 4.5 at 75%. So, you know, everything is just working out for me. That's why I said God won't leave me in a certain place and just leave me wandering, you know?
Right.
He worked that out. Why you do that?
And looking at it now, Demetrius, at what point will you be 100%? Will you be able to work out for teams?
I'm projected to be ready in May.
Okay.
In May 2012. May 2012.
Right around the time you graduate.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
I mean, that could be some two great things.
Oh, yes. Oh, man, I love that. And I'm pretty sure my mom would love it, too, because she'll be getting that degree. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And were there times throughout this process, during this recovery and this rehab process, where you wanted to just give up, throw it all in, just say forget about it?
To be honest with you, it was probably about 4 months ago. I was like, oh, man, you know, I feel like this is, it's nothing going to give. It's not going over for me. And then I was on my old Twitter account, and someone, a fan, hit me on Twitter and said, hey, D. Bird, did you hear Chad Jones run a 4.8? I was like, what? No, I didn't hear that. Then I sat and thought about it. I was like, man, I'm around here talking about I'm giving up, and it's like they had to give him a whole new leg. And I'm around here talking about I'm giving up. So my boy Seth, well, my coach slash trainer slash boy, he was trying to get me to come out and get back into it. And I just be like, nah, man, I'm not going to do it, man. I'm just work out and just forget about it. And then, man, I talked to head coach Tommy Byers, and he started telling me some good things about, you know, how he worked with some guys that came in. This is what really moved me, too. There was a guy, he was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't run, couldn't do nothing. He was paralyzed. The kid runs a 4.3 now.
Wow.
He started training with coach, and coach got him good. He can't get through contact right now, but he runs a 4.3, so he plays baseball now. So it's crazy. So I was like, man, why am I giving up, man? So I went back and got back into it, and man, and if anybody want to check it out, you look on YouTube, and you'll see me in action. I'm back at it.
Okay, definitely. And where can we find it out on YouTube?
Under what name? Demetrius Byrd.
Okay.
Demetrius Byrd.
Fans, make sure you do that.
They have a week 1 through 3. That was when I first started. You know, you could look at it, see everything. I'm kind of hesitant. You know, I'm learning everything. And then we have a week 4 through 8.
All
right. And that 4 through 8, you see it, you're like, wow, that's a whole different person. And then now we just put up another one, which is week 9 through 11, I think it is. Completely different person. You're like, oh, my God, who is that? So all I got to do is keep teaching myself that, you know, teaching my muscles that, hey, I used to be athletic. I need to get back like this. So that's what I'm doing.
And you were drafted by the Chargers and ultimately released by the Chargers. But how much love
sir.
Do you have towards that organization for giving you that opportunity?
Man, I have so much love for that organization, that whatever you want to call it. Man, I love San Diego. When I first got there, I went up into the front office and I told them thank you. The GM, everybody, I told them thank you. Coach Turner, thank you. Because y'all gave me something to really even keep moving towards. Even though I was with them for that one year it gave me something, you know, to live up to as a football player, you know. And
right.
I love them for that. That's my dream, to get drafted. It wasn't
right.
high like I wanted to, but I got drafted.
And Demetrius, you talked about. Go ahead.
Many people haven't got drafted, you know, and I'm sitting here and I got drafted in a coma. Like, Graham Harrell was a stud at Texas Tech, and he didn't get it. Now he's at a Super Bowl team, and he didn't get drafted.
Right.
But yeah, still, I got drafted in a coma. Man, I'm very thankful for that. I don't care where I got drafted at, I got drafted. You know,
right?
And I'm very thankful for that.
And not too many people can say, like you said, that they got drafted.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
And Demetrius, you talked about it. You had the vertebrae injury. You had some brain injuries as well. Is it truly safe for you to be playing football? The doctor said it's completely 100% safe for you to play NFL football again.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of in the middle of that because.
Right.
One doctor told me I can't play again. The San Diego doctors, I went out there, you know, they got the top brain people out there. The guy told me that I will play again. He just don't know when.
Right.
You know? So I'm kind of in the middle, like, oh, man, I don't know what to do.
Right.
But God is showing me that, hey, I still, he gave me back all my strength and everything. Then I go and do it. And
right.
I also talked to my tutor. She's a neurologist or whatever. And she told me, she said, you know, doctors are supposed to tell you that you can't play again just to protect yourself. She
right.
said, I'm gonna be honest with you. If you feel in your heart that you got to do it and everything is okay, give it a shot.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to do because I just can't accept, like, quitting. Coming from LSU,
right.
man, we don't quit, you know. Coming from LSU, don't quit. We keep fighting, because that's why we're fighting Tigers.
And is it NFL or bust, or will you be open to playing CFL or UFL?
Oh, it don't matter. I just want to play football. It really don't matter where I play. I just want to play football.
Okay. Okay.
That's just something I love, man. I just love doing that.
We're talking to Demetrius Byrd, former LSU wide receiver and a member of the 2007 championship LSU team. And
yes,
also,
sir.
Demetrius was involved in a serious car accident a week before the NFL draft. He was drafted by the Chargers while in a coma. And Demetrius, you talked about the LSU Tigers. And let's move to the big game
yes,
on Monday night against Alabama
yes,
for
sir.
All the marbles.
Calm down.
You
yeah,
played. You, definitely going down. You played under Les Miles.
Yeah,
how does Les approach this big game? How does he approach a big game like this?
Man, Les Miles really don't say much, man. He really don't say much. It'd be really your teammates doing all the talking. Coach Miles really don't say nothing. He just say, you know, it's a big game and all of this. He takes all the right precautions into going by the game the right way.
Right.
I'm telling you, all the talk is coming from the players. Why don't back in 07 it came from the players, man? Because they know what we got to do, so I'm not putting nothing past this team now. I think it's all about the players and Tyrann Mathieu. He's getting all them guys right.
And you've been around the LSU facility, and you've been around this team a little bit. What's the vibe you're getting right now?
The vibe I'm getting is great swag, to tell you the truth. That's what I'm getting. I renamed the university to Louisiana Swag University, because that's what it is. It's not LSU, Louisiana State. It's Louisiana Swag University. That's what I call it, because those guys play with great swag out on the field, and it's crazy. You know, like, in 07, we had swag, but it's like different players had their own little swag, their own intangibles like that. Man, this team here, man, all them guys play with, like, it's a swag in one part, and it's crazy. Like, man, I just love watching them, man. You can see all of them out there, they having fun, they're balling, it's like they're doing plays for each other, you know? And
right.
and they stick together. I like that.
And you played in the national title game. I mean, how much pressure is involved in this type of game?
Oh, man. We had a lot of pressure. I'm not going to lie to you. We had a little pressure. You know, people were talking about Ohio State being big and strong and all this stuff here. But amongst the players, we were like, man, Ohio State, they're not going to be nothing. They ain't nothing but some big old guys that's not fast. They're just stiff. They can't move. So we'll get them. And then we get out there, and that first drive, Beanie Wells busted on us. We were like, oh, man. We were like, oh, man, we got to step it up. Man, we all got together, and we talked amongst each other, you know, the receivers and stuff like that. Me, Ernie Doucette, Brandon LaFell, we used to call ourselves three horses. Because Brent LaFell led in catches, Early led in yards, I led in touchdowns. We called ourselves three horses, and we talked to each other and we said, "Come on, man, let's do this," and that's what we did. We did this thing.
And you did the thing back in 2007, and when LSU played Alabama, they did the thing, but it was a field goal fest, and ultimately LSU won in overtime. A lot of people thought it was a bad game, a bad play game. I really enjoyed the game, actually. I thought it was a good game. It was competitive. It was close. And it was a lot of good defensive football. Should we expect much of the same this time around? Is it going to be a little more scoring, or is it going to be a field goal
fest? No, sir. I think we're going to win by 7. That's what I think. I think we're going to put more points up on the scoreboard. To be honest with you, I don't think LSU gave them their best. I'm going to tell you that. Because you look at every team, man, I think it's, 9 teams, we put up over 40 points on them, over 40, or we put 40 on our scoreboard, and then we got to Bama and we didn't put no points up. So, oh, man, we didn't even score a touchdown. Did we even get in the red zone? I don't even know. But I was at the game, but I was zoned out because I was like, I can't believe this happening. But I definitely expect this game here. Because with the Mad Hatter, everything is possible. Just like everybody say, with Saban having 6 weeks, I'm going to tell you, with the Mad Hatter, trust me, he got some under the hat. You know, he can't eat grass now because we're on turf, but the Mad Hatter got some.
We'll see what the Mad Hatter has this time around with Demetrius. It's hard to beat a team twice in 1 year, especially a good team like Alabama. But you're going with LSU, right?
Yeah, but also it's hard to beat an undefeated team that's on fire right now.
Okay,
we're undefeated.
True.
Undefeated, you know. And we on fire. We put up points. We steamrolling anybody and everybody. You get in our way, the Tiger must take over.
And are you going to be at this game? You're going
to
be there?
No, I'm not. Actually, no, I'm not going to be at the game. I'm going down to the block party and stuff like that, and then I'm coming back. See, me, I'm kind of like a fan-oriented kind of guy, so I'm going to one of my partners, going to his house, they're throwing a big game watch party. And I'm watching with all the fans and stuff like that. So I think it's every 4 years we're going to take it. That's what I think. If you come in our tracks in them 4 years, sorry, it's over, okay? It's our year.
And we shall see, and I think LSU will win this particular game. So I agree with you. You got a score for us?
Can I give you two?
We'll take two.
All right. My first score will be, both was going to be LSU. My first score is 10-17 LSU. My second score is 24-17 LSU.
And why the two scores?
The two scores because, like, if I was to say 10-17, I'd be, like, really kind of going against the grain because with us scoring points, we're going to score over 20 points every game. And I think we can score over 20 points on Bama. So I'm going to give the 24. And the reason why I say 24-17 again is because back in 07, I think that was the score when we played them. We played them down there. It was 24-16, something like that. So, yeah, that's what I think.
And Demetrius, where can fans connect with you so they can follow this comeback?
Oh, they can follow me on Twitter at Demetrius_Bird2. That's Demetrius_Bird2. They also can, like my fan page is Demetrius Bird, and it's just a fan page. You know, they can like that page. I also update that a lot, too, and also just keep on checking for YouTube videos of me working out and stuff like that, and also with Twitter.
Okay. So, and that fan page, that's on Facebook, correct?
Yes, sir. That's on Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook, Demetrius Bird, / Demetrius Bird, and then the fan page, because my regular Facebook has too many friends. I can't accept friends, so it's crazy.
So you're a popular guy, I see, a very popular guy.
I think so.
Demetrius, we appreciate you having you, man. I mean, you have a great story, and I'm wishing nothing but the best of luck for you, man. I think you could do it. If you believe it, you can achieve it, and right now you seem to believe that you can get back on this NFL field.
Exactly.
And you've gotten to this point, and who knows what could happen, but I'm rooting for you.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the air and talking, you know, expressing my story out. So
definitely, great story. And no problem, man. It's a great story, and people need to hear it. Hopefully you can inspire someone to do great things, and hopefully you'll do great things moving forward.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care,
sir. For having me. All right.
Take care. Demetrius Bird, former wide receiver, LSU wide receiver, a part of the 2007 LSU championship team. Demetrius Bird has a great story there. And we wish him nothing but the best of luck. I mean, the odds are against him, but hey, if you believe it, you can truly achieve it. And I think he can do it. I think he can do it. It's a long shot, but he can do it. And life is full of long shots and full of people saying that you can't do this and you can't do that. But if you believe in yourself and believe that you can get it done and that you can achieve what you think you can achieve, you can achieve it. And I believe that Demetrius Bird has a great opportunity to achieve that. And that is getting back to the NFL. If not the NFL, maybe Arena, maybe CFL, maybe UFL. But he will get back, and he believes it. And we shall see. But a great story there. A great story there and an interesting story. I mean, the guy was drafted while in a coma. That doesn't happen, folks. It just does not happen. It does not happen. And he seems to have a very positive attitude now. A very positive attitude. And you look at it, the guy was projected to go in the second round of the 2009 draft. The second round. That's big. So you look at it now, and Demetrius Bird, a great story. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Demetrius_Bird2. And make sure you like him on Facebook, facebook.com/Demetrius Bird. And go to YouTube and check out his videos. As he's on the comeback trail. And Demetrius Bird loves his LSU Tigers and believes that LSU will get it done the second time around in the BCS championship game. And that should be a good game. It should be a very good game. And a lot of people were very critical of the first game, saying it was boring, so on and so forth. But to me, that was a very exciting game. exciting game, not necessarily because of the amount of points scored, because there wasn't a lot of points scored. It was all field goals. But to me, it was compelling. It was number one and number two. It was compelling football, both teams battling, a great defensive battle. And that's great, a great defensive battle. And too often we get excited over seeing a whole bunch of points being scored. But to me, there's nothing wrong with a good old defensive battle. And that, to me, is just as good, if not better, than a shootout. So we shall see what happens with this ball game Monday night, the BCS title game. And you look at the rest of these bowl games, they just become irrelevant in a lot of ways because they really don't mean anything. They've become irrelevant in a lot of ways, and it's time for college football to come up with some kind of playoff system. I mean, because this is crazy. I mean, you're watching these bowl games, and there's so many of them. You hardly know when they're on, and to me it's just kind of a waste of time in a lot of ways, because the reality is the only game that matters is the big one. The only thing that matters is the big one. All the other games are truly and really irrelevant. They're really irrelevant. The only one that matters, the only thing that matters is the big one, and that's the big one on Monday night, LSU, Alabama, for all the marbles. For it all, Les Miles and LSU, Nick Saban in Alabama, what's going to happen? It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great game. It's hard to beat a team twice in 1 year, especially a team as good as Alabama. But I believe in LSU. I'm with Demetrius Byrd here. I like LSU to get it done. And I think LSU will score a little more points. Actually, you know what? Yes, I think LSU will score a little more points than they did last time. But we shall see. We shall see Monday night, All-State, BCS title game, LSU, Alabama, for all the marbles. Who will win it? It should be big. It should be exciting. It should be fun. But I like LSU to win it again and beat Alabama again the second time this year and ultimately become national champions. But we shall. Great, great week of football here, college or pro, more specifically the pro game. Very exciting football. We previewed all the games this week. We previewed all the games this week. And then there are going to be some close games. We really come up in talking to Willie and everything. We really figured out and decided that this is going to be some close, tough football. It's going to be some big-time football played this week. It's going to be some close football played this week. It's going to be some good football, man. And to me, I like the Texans to get it done. I like the Saints to get it done. I like the Falcons to get it done. And I like, in my upset of the week, the Denver Broncos to get it done and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't believe in Tebow, but I believe in the Broncos defense, and I believe that Big Ben is not 100%. I believe there's a great opportunity here for the Denver Broncos, a great opportunity. And so with that opportunity, with Marquise Pouncey not going to be able to play, Rashard Mendenhall not going to be able to play, Big Ben having a setback and not being 100%, not playing well with this ankle injury the past couple weeks, to me, that bodes well for Denver. And to me, with all that being said, that benefits the Broncos, and I think the Denver Broncos will get it done this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't believe in Tebow, but I do believe in the Denver Broncos defense, and I do believe with Big Ben not being 100%, that favors and that benefits the Denver Broncos, and we shall see. Speaking of guys who got the benefit, who were very fortunate, Floyd Mayweather Jr. scheduled to go to jail yesterday, actually. Got his jail sentence changed or changed to June 1st. So initially, Floyd Mayweather had to report January 6th, but now, after a judge ruling, we'll have to report June 1st. So now this gives him an opportunity to fight on May 5th, and he fights, and then after that, he goes to jail June 1st, a month later. What a country. What a country. And his lawyers argued that the financial benefit that Floyd Mayweather fights, how much it helps the local economy in Las Vegas, and it does. A lot of people come to see Floyd Mayweather fight, so that helps the economy. So it benefits the economy, and I guess it benefits the greater good. So the reality is Floyd Mayweather does not have to report to prison until June 1st. And the reality is, I mean, Floyd Mayweather brings in a lot of money for Las Vegas when he fights. Fights in general bring in money to Las Vegas. And Floyd Mayweather is a guy that can bring in money, can bring fans and bring people to, can bring fans and people to the arena, to the casinos, and to Las Vegas in general. So I guess it financially benefits the community, which in some respect helps the greater good. And with helping the greater good, Floyd Mayweather now gets an opportunity to fight May 5th. And whether it's against Pacquiao, we don't know. I hope so. But it's looking like that may not happen, as Bob Arum is saying that Manny may not be ready in May. But he could be ready in June. But by the time he's ready, Floyd Mayweather is off the Clark County prison in Las Vegas. So it becomes irrelevant at that point. But we shall see what happens. And, hey, it gives me another opportunity to watch Floyd Mayweather, and I enjoy doing that. And hopefully it may give us an opportunity finally to see Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao getting it on in the ring where they need to get it on, and I would love for that to happen.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Get it is right. We do it all the time here on Go For It. My man Corey Live and his Pittsburgh Steelers, Corey Live, Corey Almeida's Pittsburgh Steelers, will be going down this week against the Denver Broncos. I don't believe in Tebow, but I believe in that defense. I believe in that defense, and I believe with that defense and with Big Ben not being 100%, the Denver Broncos get it done, and we shall see what happens with that. We shall see. I want to move now to the New York Jets. We talked about a little bit with Willie, but I want to move to the Jets again and talking about that and everything that's going on with the Jets. And I mean, it's a crazy situation with Mark Sanchez, crazy deal with Santonio Holmes and Greg McElroy talking. Everybody's talking. Everybody is talking. Everybody is doing a lot of talking there. A lot of talking. Too much talking, if you ask me. Too much talking, if you asked me. Way too much talking. So with all the talking going on, all the chirping going on by the Jets and all the players with the Jets, I mean, obviously it wasn't a good situation there. It was not a good situation there with the Jets. We'll get back to the Jets now as you're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com. Back on Go Forward. And, again, looking at Mark Sanchez and all the things that he's done and what happened with him and all the talking that's going on with the Jets. It's a team in turmoil. It is a team in complete and utter turmoil right now. And I look at this Jets team, and I look at Mark Sanchez and this whole deal, and I said this last year. I came out and I said the Jets will never win a championship with Mark Sanchez as their quarterback. It's the third year now, first 2 years in the AFC Championship game, third year, 26 turnovers, a career high, 26 turnovers for him. He regressed, and ultimately the Jets regressed, and they didn't make the playoffs. I've been saying for the longest, that the New York Jets could not, would not win a championship with Mark Sanchez as their quarterback. I knew that the Jets would not win with him as a quarterback. He's just not good enough, everybody. Boomer Esiason agrees with me. And I think a lot of people agree with me. He's just not good enough. He has not progressed from game manager to game changer. He has not done that. He hasn't done it. And I don't think he ever will. And I'll be shocked if he does. He's not good enough, folks. He's not a championship caliber quarterback. He's just not. And I don't think he ever will be. He has regressed. And speaking of the comments by Boomer and Esiason, he said that, said on a radio show in Boston that Mark Sanchez was like a chihuahua standing on Madison Avenue and 36th Street, entering the Midtown Tunnel, eyes bigger than you know what, and just so shaky. So he compared him to a chihuahua, and he said he has been very shaky. He was shaky. The last four games of the season, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Awful. God-awful. Not god-awful, but awful. Has not been playing good football throughout this season. He's regressed. And you can argue that he has the weapons, Holmes, Burris, Keller. You can argue that he has weapons there. But for whatever reason, it just did not happen for Mark Sanchez and the New York Jets. Defensively, they were not as good as they were a year ago. They really weren't. And they regressed on the defensive side of the ball. And you look at it, they regressed on the offensive side of the ball with Mark Sanchez. They regressed. And they took a step back. And in taking that step back, the New York Jets were not a good football team this year. 8-8. They were 8-5, and they were looking like it looked like the Jets were going to do what they have done these past 2 years, come on near the end there and get into the playoffs and become that dangerous playoff team they were the first 2 years under Sanchez and Rex Ryan. But this year, for whatever reason, down the stretch there, the Jets did not play jet-like football, if you will. They weren't grounded and pounded. They weren't getting good quarterback play out of Mark Sanchez. And that was the key to me, the quarterback play. Defensively, they played good enough for them to win games. The defense has played good enough for them to win games. But offensively is where the issues come into play. That's where the issues come, offensively. There were a lot of issues with this ball club offensively. A lot of issues. Mark Sanchez was one of them. Santonio Holmes obviously was a cancer in the locker, according to some teammates. He was the captain, but he didn't act captain like many called him selfish. Many of his teammates have called him selfish. He did not captain like this year for the New York Jets. He acted selfish. He played like a selfish player. He gave him big-time money, 5 years, $50 million, $24 million of it guaranteed. $7.75 million of that will be guaranteed next season. So you gave him a lot of money. And with all that money comes security. And sometimes when we get security and get comfortable, we start acting out and doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. And talking a little too much and saying a little too much and calling out teammates when in the media, calling out a whole offensive line in the media the way he did. Captains don't do that kind of stuff. He didn't conduct himself like a captain this year. And Rex Ryan said for whatever reason the team just didn't have the chemistry and didn't get along the way they had in years past. And when you bring in guys like Santonio Holmes, and sometimes those things happen. You know, and with those guys, when things are going well, it can be very well, it can be a great situation, but when things are not going so well, those guys can be very difficult to handle. Santonio Holmes has become a cancer in that locker room, according to some teammates, unnamed teammates, I should say. But a lot of the teammates have called him selfish. And he had Greg McElroy coming out and saying that the team as a whole was selfish. And many say that, you know, if anybody's going to come out, if any quarterback is going to come out against the locker room and against various players for the Jets, it should be your star quarterback, your franchise caliber, your franchise quarterback, and I put that franchise quarterback in quotations because he is not a franchise quarterback. It should be Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez should be the guy going in there and calling out teammates in the media if anybody's going to call out teammates and call the locker room selfish. It should be Mark Sanchez doing that. He should be the guy doing that. Because the Jets did not play good football this year. They struggled running the ball throughout the course of the season. And at one point in the year, they struggled stopping a run. They improved on the defensive side of the ball later in the season. But on offense, it was not good. It was not good. It was not good on the offensive side of football for the New York Jets. And the main reason for that is the one, is the only, Mark Sanchez. He is the reason for that. He is the guy, the man, the person, the individual, who's the guy, in my opinion, who gets a lot of the blame for what happened with the New York Jets. Mark Sanchez has to take some blame for what happened. And you look at them, overall, they were 22nd. And running the football. They could not run the football. They were 22nd in the league. Maybe they do miss a guy like Thomas Jones. Maybe they do. Damian Woody was a guy that they was a big guy on the offensive line. He retired, but he was a very good player on the offensive line for the New York Jets. He was big. But he's no longer there. And you just look at the Jets and look at Mark Sanchez. 26 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. But a team high 26, career high for him, 26 turnovers. You can't win like that when you turn the ball over like that way. You cannot win that way when you turn the ball over like that. It's hard. It's hard to win this league when you turn the football over. As the Philadelphia Eagles, probably the most talented team not in the playoffs. The team that, if a few things had worked out their way, if they would not have turned the ball over the way they did, they would have been in these playoffs. They would have been in these playoffs. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But the bottom line is you can't turn the football over the way Mark Sanchez did this year. if you want to win championships. And if you believe that Mark Sanchez is a championship quarterback, tell me how. Tell me why. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I said to Willie Rofe, and I said to many of you, and I'll repeat myself, if Peyton Manning, if you have an opportunity to get a healthy Peyton Manning, you better do what you got to do to make that happen. You better do what you got to do to make that happen. You got to. You better do what you got to do to make that happen. You got to. You got to. You got to make that happen. Again, he committed a career high 26 turnovers. That's a lot of turnovers. That is a lot of turnovers. A lot of turnovers. And with all that being said, I'll repeat myself one more time. If you have an opportunity to get a Peyton Manning, you better do what you can do to make sure that happens. You better make sure that happens. Because Mark Sanchez is not the guy. He is not a championship caliber quarterback. He is not a guy that is going to win you a championship. He won't do it. He won't do it. He can't do it. He's just not that guy. He's not that guy. He's not that guy. So we'll see. We shall see what happens with the New York Jets. And just like Willie and I spoke about, the Jets have a lot of questions. Do you bring Plax back? Do you bring Santonio Holmes back? Well, you have to bring him back. He makes too much money. No one's going to trade for that money. $7.75 million. No one's going to trade for that. So he comes back. What do you do with Mark Sanchez? If you're not going to bring in a Peyton Manning, do you draft a quarterback, or do you bring in some type of veteran that could push him? Do you do that? Do you do that? Do you bring in some kind of player that can push him? We shall see. We shall see what happens there. But the Jets have issues. The Jets have issues. And speaking of issues, I want to move to the NBA now. I want to move to the DeMarcus Cousins issues with the Sacramento Kings and Paul Westphal. And at one point, there were reports that DeMarcus Cousins had requested a trade, demanded a trade. Paul Westphal came out in a statement saying that DeMarcus Cousins had requested a trade. DeMarcus Cousins and his agents denied that. They denied requesting a trade. Then you have a few days later, Paul Westphal is fired by the Kings, and Keith Smart takes over. And not as the interim coach, but Keith Smart takes over as the full-time head coach of the Sacramento Kings. And if, you know, there's been talk that the Maloof brothers, the owners of the Kings, believe that the Kings should be better and the players should be progressing a little more. But if you look at that, and some reports are saying that the issues with DeMarcus Cousins also led to the firing of Paul Westphal. If that truly is the case, I think that is very disappointing. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is not a Magic Johnson who was big time in getting Paul Westhead out as coach of the Los Angeles Lakers many years ago. He's not a Magic Johnson. He's not that guy. He doesn't have that type of talent. Is he a talented player? Yes. Is he Magic Johnson talent? Does he have Magic Johnson talent? No. So he's not that guy. And those type of guys should not be able to dictate when, where, or how an organization is run or who's coaching the organization. So you look at that. I don't know how much DeMarcus Cousins, the issues with DeMarcus Cousins had with this firing, but if it played a big role, that's disappointing. And I'm not saying whether or not Paul Westphal should have been fired, but it seems like obvious to me that the Kings management was looking to do this move if things didn't work out early on with this ball club. And I'm not saying whether he should or should not have been fired, but what I'm saying is if a guy like DeMarcus Cousins is dictating whether or not Paul Westphal is coaching the Sacramento Kings, then I have a problem with that. DeMarcus Cousins has been immature, has been temperamental in college, throughout in high school, college, and now in the pros. He's been that guy. A guy that teams had concerns about. And maybe you can see why some teams had concerns about him and see why some teams may have passed on him. But you look at DeMarcus Cousins, he is talented. He has a lot of ability. He can get it done. And I think he keeps his head on right, can be a very good center in this league. But at this stage of his career, DeMarcus Cousins should not be dictating and deciding whether or not anybody should be coaching the Kings, whether or not Paul Westphal should be coaching the Kings. DeMarcus Cousins should not have that type of say. He just should not have that type of say. He's just not that good enough. He's not good enough to have that kind of say. He's not. He's not good enough. But if this was other guys, if this was LeBron James who made this request, or Dwayne Wade, or Derrick Rose, or a player of that caliber, you have to think about it. You have to look long and hard. Don't mean you necessarily should do it, but you definitely got to think about it and think about it long and hard. But when you have a player like DeMarcus Cousins, if he was one of the reasons that Paul Westphal was fired, then I have a problem with that. And when you have him dictating terms of your franchise and dictating situations, I got a problem with that. I got a big problem with that. A big problem with that. And to me, it's just unfair. It's just unfair. I got a problem with that. A big problem. DeMarcus Cousins should not determine or dictate whether any coach in the National Basketball Association, the NBA, should be fired. He does not. He should not have that kind of juice. At least not yet. At least not yet. But we shall see what happens moving forward. Keith Smart is the new coach, and we'll see how him and Cousins get along, whether it will be a successful marriage between those two, whether those two will get along and be happy together, and whether or not the Kings will be a happy bunch, and moving forward, whether or not the Kings will become a better basketball team. We shall see. We shall see. I want to thank Demetrius Burr for stopping by. Again, Demetrius had a great story to tell. Demetrius right now is getting himself right, getting himself ready for a possible return to football, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the CFL, UFL, or any type of football. He's working hard and getting himself right for that opportunity and that chance. So we're wishing him nothing but the best of luck. I am inspired by his story, and I hope you were too. And make sure you follow him on Twitter at Demetrius_Bird2. Also, I want to thank the great Willie Rofe for stopping by. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Willie_Rofe. And it just been announced that Willie Rofe is now a finalist for the 2012 Hall of Fame. So that's big news for Willie Rofe. Congratulations to Willie Rofe on that. He is now a finalist for the 2012 Hall of Fame, and we hope that he gets in this time around. So make sure you follow him on Twitter and congratulate him on Twitter at Willie_Rofe. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Also, follow us on Twitter at Go4Can. For everybody here at Go4It, we hope you enjoyed it. Have a great day. See you later. Bye.